As an educator, and aren't we all teachers really, resilience is an inescapable topic, popping up everywhere I look in the form of words like tenacity, perseverance, and grit. And rightly so, given the myriad challenges learners face culturally and financially. But I've noticed that the overwhelming narrative of resilience is one focused on resistance, when in reality the concept is as much about elasticity as it is strength. To be resilient is not just to resist, but to know when and how to acquiesce in order to rebound. Resilience is about bending but not breaking, turning away from in order to be ready to turn back toward, or, as the term du jour has it, lean into. Exploring resilience brought me to this week's word, tropism. Biologically, tropism is the movement of an organism in reaction to some stimulus, such as a flower turning toward the sun. More broadly, tropism refers to our more or less instinctual tendencies, inclinations, and impulses, and is used this way by many verbally virtuosic writers. Philip K. Dick, for example, loved the word, and it can be found in most of his novels, such as in Ubik, where he, in a display of his own characteristically ominous tropism, writes, "He would soon be leaving a trail behind him, bits of crumbled cloth, a trail of debris leading to a hotel room and yearned-for isolation. His last labored actions governed by a tropism, an orientation urged him toward death, decay, and non-being. A dismal alchemy controlled him, culminating in the grave." The word tropism comes to us as an abstraction from earlier scientific words such as heliotropism, that previously mentioned turning toward the sun, and geotropism, growth in the direction of gravity. These were based on the Greek word tropos, or turning. Digging a little deeper, the Greek word was based on the Proto-Indo-European trep, which is part of words today as various as contrive, entropy, and troubadour. The concept of tropism abounds in the world of literature as well. When Wordsworth writes of the golden daffodils, 10,000 saw I at a glance, tossing their heads in sprightly dance, and then of himself, and then my heart with pleasure fills and dances with the daffodils, he is totally writing a poem of intertwining in which the flowers and his heart dance in a tropic relationship with one another. Reading Wordsworth is not without both pain and pleasure, but grizzled veterans of the postmodernist civil wars of the 80s and 90s, readers and writers alike, will recognize and perhaps feel traumatized by the related word trope. In those dismal days of Derrida, trope evolved from referring to a simple figure of speech to a knowing, beret-tipping reference to a kind of recurring storytelling or figurative shorthand found in all kinds of fictions and entertainments and exhaustively documented by desperate grad students. While the Derridians have mostly faded away, the force of the trope has remained strong, obsessively cataloged on sites like tvtropes.org, who once defined them in a delightfully clear way as devices and conventions that a writer can reasonably rely on as being present in the audience members' minds and expectations. Finally, if all that isn't enough for you to add tropism and its family to your verbal brood, note that it is found in Robert Bly's, not that Robert Bly's book, The Words You Should Know to Sound Smart. What more convincing could you need? For more on tropism, including examples from writers ranging from Natalie Sirote to Cynthia Ozick, and a music video for the tropism song, point your favorite browser to katexic.com/KUAC.